chapter has 55 verses. You want all of them read. So I'm going to ask Brother Bob to read the first 32 verses, and then I'll have a word of prayer, and read the last, and we'll consider this portion as time run. Genesis 31.
And you got behind the pot was made by lifting up my eyes and throwing it in. And behold, the middle growth is the making of Christ, purple and marble. Then the angel of God said to me, "Jacob," I said, "Here I am." And he said, "Look up now, your eyes, and see all the middle growth is the making of Christ, purple and marble. Christ the Father, Reagan, has been doing this. I am the God of Jacob, for you among the souls. So, you made a vow to me. Now rise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth." And Jacob and Leah answered and said to him, "Do we still have any portion or inheritance on God's house? Are we not blessed by name and calling? For he has sold us, and has also entirely consumed our purchase price. Surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, do whatever God has said to you." Then Jacob arose and took his children and his wives and sons. And he drove away all his livestock and all his property which he had gathered, his acquired livestock which he had gathered, to go to the land of sin, to the far right. And Laban had gone to see his flock, and Rachel sold the house of Lila that were her father. And Jacob deceived Laban the servant by not telling him that he was born. But he said, "For all you have." And he rose and crossed the Euphrates River, and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. And at the full Laban on the third day of Jacob's prayer, then he took his tent and looked and received him the distance of 7 days' journey, and the order took it, and the whole country of Gilead. God came to Laban and said, "In a dream of the night," and told him, "Be careful that you do not be Jacob, neither good nor bad." And Laban caught up the gift of him. And Jacob took his tent and the whole country, Laban with his tent and camp in the whole country of Gilead. Then Laban said to Jacob, "I am begun by deceiving you, and scattering away my daughters like captives off of the shore. Why did you pray secretly and deceive me, and did not tell me, so that I might have sent you away this dog, and this palm, this temple, and this lion, and did not allow me to take my sons and my daughters? I am begun foolishly. Is it in my power to bring you home? God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob.' Now, let him be informed of that, because you long greatly for your father's house. But mine is included in God." Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid of you, so I said, 'Lest you will take your daughters from you by force.' The one with whom you find your God thrown out of the earth, in the presence of our sins, torn out, what is yours among my belongings and kept it for yourself. But Jacob did not know that Jacob was told me."
Let's speak to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for every part of the Word of God, the things that my son spoke, the things recorded that other men spoke. All our prophets, and we desire thy blessing on the words that have been spoken and read and ought to be read and ought to be spoken. We can't come and bless us with this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, verse 33. And Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent, and into the tent that he made service, that he found the knot. And he learned how to live and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the caravan and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban felt about all the tents but found them not. And she said to her father, let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise up before him, for the matter of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the caravan. And Jacob was wroth, and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast felt about all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us two. These 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That it was corn of beef, I brought not unto thee, I bear the law on it. Of my hand is thou required, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from mine eyes. These 20 years have I been in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy flock, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac has been with me, surely now hast thou sent me away empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hand, and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, the daughters are my daughters, and the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children whom they have borne? And now come, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, scatter stones. And they took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there by the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Pahadut. But Jacob called it Galil. And Laban said, this heap is witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galil and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, and if thou shalt take wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold the sheep, and behold the pillar, which I have set betwixt me and thee. This sheep be witness, and the pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this sheep to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this sheep and this pillar unto me, for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their fathers, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father, Isaac. And Jacob offered his sacrifice in the mountain, and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his son and his daughter, he left them, and Laban departed and returned unto his tent, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. How old is Jacob when he leaves Uncle Laban to go home? And he's 97 years old. I told you, and I won't go through time to explain it again, but if you look at what Jacob told Pharaoh and the age of his son Joseph, you can figure it out in relation to the years of plenty and the years of famine. You will find out that when he left home, he was 77, and now he has been with Uncle Laban 20 years, and so he is 97 years old. And age, his heart longs to go back home to his father. His father Isaac is 157. He does not know if his father is alive. He does not know if his mother is alive. But he's been wanting to go home. But he tarried 7 years that he might secure the woman he loved, Rachel, and then he was tricked into serving another 7 years for the woman he did not love in comparison to Rachel, Leah, 7 years. And then he's ready to go home, but Uncle Laban says, I'll start paying you wages now. You are not working for my daughters anymore. You need something to enrich yourself. And so Jacob said, well, I will work for a certain percentage of the cattle that you have. And so 7 years for one wife, 7 years for another wife, and now 6 years, and no time limit is set. But after 6 years, Laban looked at his flock, and now they are Jacob's flock. And life has been tedious up until now, but now it is becoming intolerable, and it is becoming dangerous. I told you the contention in the past years that this life of bliss that Jacob is experiencing with Rachel turns into, instead of Rachel alone with him in the house as the woman who he loved, he had Leah as well, and the sisters were one another's throat, and that Jacob's throat, and you see what his uncle Laban did to him. That was bad enough. We find out just what happened to him all these years, but now something else is happening. Before, while his uncle Laban was a hard taskmaster, it says this, that the countenance of Laban was not as it was in past time. And now, even though his uncle Laban would say to him, I'll do this, I'll do that, now the countenance, the look that he gives him, strikes apprehension and unrest into the heart of Jacob. And not only that, but he hears his cousins talking with one another. They say, all of our father's wealth, all of the cattle that were our father's, they're not our father's anymore. They're Jacob's. And he's taken the cattle, and he's taken wealth. And not only that, but he hears also what his wives are saying about their father. Mm-hmm. And they say this, he has sold us, and what he has gotten out of it, he has used up for his own good. And so think of living under these conditions for the last 6 years. The first seven, even though there were strenuous years, they were years of hope and anticipation. And it says, these years seemed unto Jacob as but a few days for the love he had unto Rachel. But in the second 7 years were harder. And then the last 6 years, he is describing in his own words. And finally, after 20 years, God speaks to him again in a special way. If you read the life of Abraham, you'll find that God appeared to Abraham again and again and again. You'll find that he also appeared unto Isaac. In Jacob's life, he only appeared to him personally when he was 77 years of age. And God gives no record that he spoke to Jacob for the 20 years while he was with his uncle Laban, working for his wives and for his wealth. Nothing is mentioned. He had to live on the promise that God gave him in Genesis 28. This is why he speaks about the God of Bethel. Why? Bethel means the house of God, and this is the name that Jacob gave to that memorable spot where he personally had God revealed to him for the first time. And now, of God, he told him to go, and he would be with him, he would preserve him, he would care for him, and he would bring him again. And God that told him to go has now told him to return. And what is so sad is this. It seems impossible that Jacob has the strength to do anything in complete reliance on God. It is then foretold that he was going to get the blessing. But he had to deceive his father and his brother and by deception get that blessing.
will find that again and again, even though God makes his promises and he holds God to his word, it seems as if he cannot trust God. And so God has told him to go, and he will be with him. And think now, after looking back over 20 years, he sees the faithfulness of God. But now God says, I want you to go back home. So I think that after all of these years of God's protection and the fulfillment of promises, that I can say with boldness, I'm going to say to my Uncle Laban, I am going home, and I have no fear, because the God has promised me protection when I came, will take care of the situation. But he doesn't say that. He decides to slip away, and he tells us why. We might suspect why he would slip away, but in his own words, he tells us, when his Uncle Laban speaks to him, he said, I was afraid that you would take my two wives away from me by force. And he had thought that the things that were his by right, that if he got ready to go home, his uncle would say to him, go home, that you're not taking my daughters into a foreign land. And he did not know what else his uncle by force would withhold from him. Because his uncle tells him when he meets him that he has power in his hand to do him hurt. And Jacob is aware of that. And he's been looking at his uncle's countenance. And he's been hearing the words of his cousins. And he is afraid. And so, God tells him to go. And he does it in the usual Jacob-like way. He does the will of God, but in a way that is dishonorable to God. I would like to criticize him, and I would like to criticize Gideon, but so often my life is like that. It says that God told Gideon what to do. And it says, because he couldn't have feared by day, he did it by night, but he did it. It would be good if he would say, God told me to do this, and I'm fearless as a lion. But God tells us to do things, and we're afraid not to do them because God has spoken, but we're afraid to do them because of the consequences. What man will do to us, and so we do the will of God, but not in a way that is completely honest to God. Over some time, we can accept God and speak with His word. Remember this morning I told you about that woman who had faith in the Lord Jesus? But the Lord Jesus saw that that faith was in service, superstition all we did. And in like manner, there are those of us who know the will of God, but we do not carry out the will of God in a way that is completely honorable. And God suffering with it. If it were not God suffering with it, as it says in the psalm, if thou wouldst mark iniquities, O God, who could stand? But there is mercy with thee, if thy mercy be healed. Let me think of your life. And think if you are deserving, and think if you are well worthy of the call wherewith you have been called. And you say, no. But it says this. It says, if we deny him, he of highly faithful, we cannot deny. Okay. And so there are many things that he could have done as reversals in Jacob's life. But in spite of Jacob's shortcomings and the dishonor that he would bring upon God, God fulfills the promise that he made to him in chapter 28. And so now he says, I'm going back home. And I want you fathers, mothers, to think of this now. I want you to think of what your children will say of you, what estimate they will have of you when they leave home. Laban's daughters know what kind of father they have. Now think of this. Here is a man that comes into Laban's house and he has two daughters and he wants them both married. And so he takes this one daughter, Leah, and he forces her under darkness and under cover to go and pretend that she is Rachel. Think of the humiliation of that. This man did this to you too. And then, having tricked Jacob this way and having told Leah to enter into this, however humiliated it might have been, then he said to his other daughter,
intending that you might join the narrowing unless you work for your 7 more years. All of these things. It seems as if nothing is below labor. And you say, well, the Stoics don't think anything about it. Oh, yes, they do. They never forget. And so when Jacob says, God has told me to go home, then his daughter starts reminiscing about the things that have lived in the past. And when this happens, she finds that there is a comfort, that there is an attachment at home, that they are ready to leave, and they tell why. They say, our father told us, it's not that here is a man that I believe is suitable for you. It was the most suitable man that could have been found for these two girls at this time. But it was not that thought that he had in mind. But here is someone I can get 14 years labor out of, and at the same time, I can get my daughters married. You see the faithfulness of this man's thinking, and it is not overlooked by his daughters that they were sold, and at the same time, they understood that their father was not going to enrich them and bestow anything upon them, but spend everything that he got. And so this is the estimate of their father, and they were prepared to leave him without a kiss, without a farewell, with only being gone. And so you parents have got to remember this, because do not think that the way you treat your children is going to be forgotten. It can be forgiven, but I do not think that it will be forgotten. It never was in Laban's case. Keep that in mind. But now, when Jacob leaves, I told you about the unworthy way that he carries out the will of God. And when you look at it, I've tried to piece together exactly what happened to Jacob, what God told him in that dream, and the way that he set up this thing, why Laban is all in the wrong. He tells about the way that Uncle Laban has changed my wages these 10 times. He has deceived me. If you have the time, anything about his carrying on. He said, but I have smarter. You see, I made the poplar rod. He doesn't need to know. Everything is wrong in Uncle Laban. And so, so often that's the very thing that we do when God speaks to us. And we are able to do that. Because of the passing of time, we are able to juggle these things around. Yes, God did tell me to go. And yes, God did take care of me. I was doing all in my power to aid God by trick and by deception. But I'm not going to mention that. But God is with me. You see how prone we are to put things in a favorable light when it comes to our way of looking at things and blaming others. You see this throughout the scriptures so often. The woman whom God has given me, gave to me, and I give peace. We always have someone to blame. We leave out, we arrange things, and God tells the truth. And so I find out about Jesus. And yet it says in the psalm, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, that's not the consolation. If God will be with Jacob and will use him, since salvation is of the Lord, it is by grace through faith, it is nothing of merit. And so it is God faithfully caring for this man, and he finally acknowledges him. And in this dream, if you look at it, it seems as if God tells him, it is not your privilege that caused you to be a success. It was the fulfillment of my promise. I will go with thee, and I will be with thee. And now he understands, and he sees in this dream, that all of the privilege that he carried on was not that which brought the end result of his becoming to it, but it was the faithful promise of God. And so he gathers everything together, and he goes. But to show you again how God not only works in the minds of his own, but he works in the minds of those that are not his own. When Uncle Laban is chasing after his nephew Jacob, God tells him in a dream, you do nothing to hinder him. You say nothing good or bad. And Laban believes in that dream. He is afraid. And I want to mention this. But Laban reminds me in a way of Balaam at Old Testament. Because Laban mentions the Lord, the God of Abraham, but he never calls him my God. He speaks of your God, the God of your fathers,
that he never claims this God as his God, but he knows the existence of this God. He says, he is your God, and the Lord has blessed me because of you. But when he speaks of his God, that's why I try to bring it out in the impression in my voice, it says, the God of Abraham and the God of Nabal. You ever heard of the God of Abraham and the God of Nabal? I've heard of the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. But he says the God of Abraham and the God of Nabal. Now, you find that Terah had three sons. He was father of Nabal, but Terah himself had Abraham, and he had a ram, and he had Nabal. And Nabal had Bethuel, and Bethuel had children, Laban, his father, and Rebecca, his sister. And so he doesn't say the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, but he says the God of Abraham and of Nabal, but he never claims his covenant God. But he talks about him, and he sees the influence that he has in his life and in the life of others in the Testament world. And so does David. Someone has criticized those that translate the Bible, and they say, don't you understand that they are unsaved men, and they can never translate correctly? And I thought this was very important. That when Balak tried to bribe Balaam to curse the people of God, Balaam said to him, if you give my house full of gold and silver, he said, I can only speak what God says to you. A man may be unsaved, but it does not mean that he will not, for academic reasons at times, put in what he wants. Now, it may not be that way, but do not think that every unsaved man is false. Come up and say, I can only speak and do and say what God says. Well, find this daily, and let me just tell you this much. Find this day meet. And because of the cunning of the daughter of Laban, you see it once in the family. Here, Laban and Rebecca are brother and sister. And then, here is Jacob, and he gets some of the blood from his mother, Rebecca. And here is his wife, Rachel, and she gets some of the cunning from her father, Laban. And now, the father is trying to find his stolen idol. And now, his own daughter has outgriven the father and said, I'm sorry, I can't get up, and I know women is upon me. And he would say, well, a poor woman that's better, you such a woman, and defile these gods, and so he comes to defile. It runs in the family. The whole chapter is filled with detection and fear, all of these things. And God brings them to all of our attention. But finally, when I rejoice in this, we find the good point in Jacob's life. Two things. Jacob loves in a way that is worthy. I do not know if any one of us men here, if we knew we had to work 7 years before we could marry our wives, would work 7 years and wait and receive nothing except a wife at the end of the 7 years. You sit on it before you say, oh yes, I would. And don't you want to agree? I don't think that you would probably work 7 years for a husband either. Remember that. And so we can commend this man all his life. And at the same time, no wonder Uncle Laban didn't receive him growth. You see the working he was. What shepherd was like unto Jacob? Who could have survived under such conditions? And now finally, all of this that has been pent up, it bursts out because Laban has been unable to find anything for this to accuse Jacob. And he tells all of these things. And he says, 20 years, 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your pattern. And so Jacob senses, and now he's coming home full, because the God of Bethel, he made promises in chapter 28, and still now in chapter 31. And someone goes on and continues, they find him, when he meets Esau again, he tells God, I'm trusting in you, made promises, and he does everything in his power to keep his brother Esau from harming him. He's praying to God and working with his hands as hard as he possibly can. Jacob never seems changed. And even in his old age, to think on these things, and let us learn the lessons that are pertinent and are important to us today. Jacob, as he departs to go home, he returns. Now listen. The Father, the thankful for faith answering the faith. We pray that we may not change thee. You remember reading in Isaiah and Romans, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And how many people can consider Jacob
And so he is a man that I greatly respect. He can see fine points in his life. He can be seen in his energy. And he will lose her God. The disciple that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is our father. And now we want him to be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has saved us by grace. And we pray that we may walk worthy of the calling, brethren, to the call. And we may glorify thy name. Our son said, Father, glorify thy name. And so teach us to be blessed. And for fathers to be honored by their children, and obeyed by their children, and to be respected by their children. And they, fathers and mothers, have a good impression of their children as well. Let them bring joy and honor in their hearts. And sing it together. This is the divine blessing we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.